tower at the Babylon or Babel. Quite famous story. And there, you can even find many paintings like this. And in this painting, this tower is kind of, you can see, kind of even above the clouds. So if you imagine this happening in sometime 3000 BC, can actually humans build a tower this high? Who knows, maybe, but for what? So that's kind of image that inspired many painters in the Christian world about it. Now, if you look into this particular name, Babel, or Babel, it's an interesting name. In Hebrew, it means confusion by mixing. And it originates from another Hebrew word called balal, that means to mingle, to mix. Well, what was really mixed in a way? It's kind of confusing to us, actually. Also, if you look into this whole story as a part of the whole spectrum, or the whole story in the Old Testament, which start with the story with Cain and Abel, right before Abraham, there's also another context you can actually see the angle there. Now, if you read this very old text and the very interesting particular part of this Bible, Genesis chapter 4, Cain killed his brother Abel, and he ran away, and he was afraid. But God somehow promised him a protection. So he find a woman. I'm not going to go into how and all that. But and he got married and he built a city. And he had many descendants. One of his descendants, or actually two of them, were named as the builders or inventors of instruments and tools. While Seth, which was actually the third son of Adam and Eve, supposedly stayed as shepherd. Mm-hmm. And you know what Abel was? He was shepherd. Mm-hmm. You know what Abraham was? He was shepherd. You know what King David was?
Shepherd.
And what, you know what Jesus said, I am?
The good shepherd.
Good shepherd. Do you see kind of some connection in here? A theme kind of connecting the whole Bible in a way? So there's an image of God connecting with humans, a human leader, a shepherd. So also this is image in a way, if you kind of check out human history, that's really a lot to cover, but just the part that I like to cover is simplified version. People started to settle and cultivate land, became settlers. And there were people who were continuing to live in old-fashioned way of living, nomads. Somehow, I'm not glorifying either one, but nomads' way of living actually has a way of living with the nature, following the rules of nature, being kind of to a degree dancing with the nature together. And accepting what's coming. The life of farmers or settlers is in a way focusing on how to change the nature to fit my need. In a way of saying, how can we make nature more comfortable to us? Sounds familiar?
Yes.
It's still going on, actually.
Still going on.
And we have done quite a damage with that. So there's a warning in the Bible about that. So Cain's children are on the way of making tools instead of kind of following the divine guidance and living with the nature together. Now, if you see this particular city, Babel, actually there is a list of cities, Babel, Akkad, And if you kind of check out ancient histories, there were cities built or kind of civilizations or kingdoms. The first kingdom you may acknowledge is called the Sumer or Sumer. And then what after that is Akkadian or Akkad, Akkadian kingdom. And then after that comes what's famous as known as Babylonian or Babylonia, whose capital city was Babylon, which is actually the same word in Hebrew as Babel. So Babel is built by this strong hunter named Nimrod. Oh, yes. And Nimrod is descendant of who? He's a grandson of Ham. And what happened to Ham? He got cursed. Do you see also the kind of similar theme in a way here? So, and somehow...
Was Ham the son of Hagar?
Ham is son of Noah.
Of Noah.
Noah had three sons, okay. Ham, Shem, and Japheth, or Japheth. And Ham's the one who went into the tent while his dad was sleeping naked and drunken with the wine. He basically saw it and came out and talked about it, and he got cursed. So I was kind of saying about it last week, that is that his fault or his dad's fault? As a father of children, I would blame Noah more than the son. But anyway, the storyline is somehow that's the cursed line. And his descendant, Nimrod, Nimrod means like a skillful hunter. He became warrior, hunter. He built first city-states. So this scripture reading begins with what? People having bricks instead of stone. Mm-hmm. Bitumen instead of mortar. What are those? The comparison, do you see? One is man-made. The other is you find in the nature. So if you are kind of fan of ancient stories, I am actually. I dig into all these ancient, real ancient stories because it fascinates me. I can see humanity in a kind of almost bare-boned way. They first tried to settle in the plain where they can cultivate the farm. But what happens? They are basically open to all attacks. And in this plain, two problems they had. One is controlling the water, irrigation. Sounds like it's history class, but it's not. And another problem was what? Defending themselves from the potential attacks. It includes both wild animals, but also bandits and robbers. So when they invented this thing called brick, people felt like what? Wow, we got it now. We got the power. So they built walled cities. And that's actually the beginning of human civilization as we know. And they were able to defend themselves. And you know what happened to the leaders, the minds of leaders back in the days? Well, when that happened, actually two things. One, they were now associating themselves as a partner or spouse to the divine, their God. And then later on, actually, they claimed somewhat divinity to themselves. And two, when they had the standing army, what happened? They wanted to use it. Mm-hmm. And they conquer other cities, beginning of kingdoms from the city-states. So Babylon or Babylonia is actually, arguably speaking, the first actual kingdom that conquered most of those city-states. That's why if you read ancient texts, there's a very bad taste against Babylon. And it's full in the Bible too. It comes back again later stage as a Babylonia. And they are the ones who destroyed the southern kingdom, the Judah, and take people as captivity. So it comes back. What is that? Is that? See, so in the Bible, it kind of gives this interesting image, an interesting story. And to me, it does not involve the real tower that is made of actual materials. The tower that is built is human arrogance.
Is what?
Human arrogance. Trusting and believing their ability and power to control the nature. Because by building these walled cities, they felt they can protect themselves from everything now, to a degree which was true. And also, they felt they are quite mighty, and they look other people down. So Bible has this very strong warning to that, actually. And I was saying, it continues today. We have, this is complicated issue. We want to survive. We want to live. We want to have a good life. And in order to do that for humans, we kind of need to change the nature. But if we change it too much, then what happens? Well, nature dies. Then what happens to us? We die with it. So there's a strong warning in the Bible on two levels. One is our tendency to believe our own ability to change and make things right. And two is a warning about our arrogance that could actually hurt and damage our own spirituality. So what was confused in this tower spiritually is not the language. It was the integrity of their own spirituality, the connection, the relationship they had with their divine. If you really think about it as God the creator, do you think God will be threatened that humans are building big tower on earth? That would be nonsense. That would be nonsense. I mean, if the creator created the whole universe and these humans are building tower on like earth's corner and trying to reach to the clouds, well, if I'm God, I'll say, go for it. You're not going to find anything up there anyway. So God has no reason to confuse that or scatter the language. But it's always after the effect that people always say it's God who did it, in a way. People got arrogant and people gathered together and they create an empire. How many people can rule an empire? One. What happened to those who rivaled against that seat? Either they get killed or they move away. To a degree, in a way, I would say this was human gathering for power and something happened to them and they couldn't stay together and they scattered. And later on they say, oh, God was scared of us and God confused our language. So, please, one thing you can take from today's lesson is that God is not scared of us. God is not against our civilization. God is not against science. God is not against technology. God's warning is that if we abuse them, we may destroy our world and us within it. And we have a tendency to do it. And it's very strong from the beginning. So may you be blessed with understanding and accepting the truth from God. Amen.